there, friends. Welcome to Whoa, That's Good. It's Wednesday, and today is going to be a really, really special day. I am doing something extra special today. I am hosting for my daughter, and I'm interviewing another daughter. Rebecca Laughlin is our special guest today, and we are going to talk about a lot of things. Like, we definitely have been through a lot together, and so we have a ton of things to talk about. And I feel like Rebecca is kind of like the mysterious Robertson because you haven't been on a podcast yet. And so this is funny that I need to tell y'all this before we start. Sadie has asked Rebecca to be on a podcast. How many times?
I don't know, but I just try to avoid it. I know, like, every time she looked at me, I'm like, okay, don't ask me.
So Sadie has tried to get Rebecca on this podcast, and Rebecca has said no every time. Why have you said no?
Well, like, speaking is not my strong suit. And I'm just, like, really not, like, you know, I'm kind of shy when it comes to stuff like that. Like, and I just feel like, I don't know if I have something, like, really good to share. You know, it just kind of makes me a little nervous. And remember the college, I took public speaking class. That was, like, my worst nightmare.
Well, it's probably most people's worst nightmare. So you're not alone in that. It probably is. But and also, English is your second language. So
totally. And I feel like it's weird because I actually feel more comfortable in front of camera instead of, like, podcasts. I feel like that's just, like, so focused on, like, where you're talking about. Okay. And you can't really express through, you know, like, it's,
that makes sense.
So,
because you have been on Duck Dynasty. You were on Duck Dynasty. Yeah. So people see you there and know you, and you're on Instagram and all the fun things. What's your Instagram account? Tell us that so they can find you.
Oh, it's Rebecca Low Robertson.
Yes.
Okay. So and I can spell it, but
That's all right. They can find you there. But so Rebecca has been a part of our family since she was 16 years old, and we're going to talk all about that. But Rebecca, you have a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and you are so brave. At 16 years old, which I need to go back and tell the whole backstory, but she came into our family at 16 years old, and I will never forget her, like, getting off that plane and us seeing her walk off the plane. She was teeny tiny. She's like, weighed like 90 pounds and this little bitty girl. And just to think of how courageous you were to do that, and everything about your life, I have seen you overcome obstacles and been so courageous, and she's creative and talented and so gifted, and we fell in love with her from the moment she joined our family. So I'm so excited to talk to you today and to let the world kind of get to know you a little bit better. So thanks for saying yes.
You're welcome.
So with this summer, since I'm hosting for Sadie while she's home taking care of her two baby girls.
I wonder what Sadie was like, hey, I bet you can get Rebecca to do
that's
it.
Exactly what
when
she did.
When you called me, I was like, okay, I guess I have to say yes to you.
Yes, Sadie called me and was like, okay, since you're hosting for me, Rebecca's like the hottest ticket in town. I've tried to get her on the podcast over and over again. She said no to me, but I bet she will not say no to you. So thanks for saying yes to me. Here you are. Here we are. All right. So first question is the question that we always ask on this podcast.
Okay.
And that is, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
So you asked me that the other day. So I was like thinking, this is kind of a hard question because there's so many things that people, you know, I've learned from so many people, and I was just like, kind of like hard for me just to pick one. So I was thinking, I was just like, okay, overall in life, like, if it's just not for a specific thing, just like an advice for life, I don't even know where I got it from. I think might be like one of the speaker or something at school, from a teacher or something. Someone said that, the happiest people don't have the best of everything, but they always make best of out of everything.
That's so,
so
good.
Instead of, like, they don't have, like, the fantasy that you think they have, that's not what makes them happy, but it's because they always make best of everything.
That is so
and
good.
So I thought that was really good because I've always kind of lived my life as, like, stay positive and just, you know, always look at, like, what can you make best of everything in the situation that might not always be you think it's good, you know? And so
I love that so much. I think that's so important for us to like just sit on and think on. And if you have like a pen and paper, like write that down. Like the happiest people are not the people that have the best of everything. Yeah. But the people that make the best of everything. Yeah. And it is so much about our mindset, mm-hmm. and how we like you see it in two people that are experiencing the same thing, and one is like miserable and the other's like sees it as a challenge or adversity to overcome or something to you just look for the best in those things. Yeah. And you live your life that way. I love that.
And like I feel like also just with social media you can mm-hmm. see like a lot of people is seeing other people what they mm-hmm. have and all this stuff, but and it's easy to kind of feel like, oh well, I don't have what they have, mm-hmm. you know, but really what made you happy is gonna be what you make the best of what you already have,
that's
you know.
So good. Yeah, so. That contentment. And I think that contentment is so important. We talk about that a lot. Willie and I talk about that a lot. And like I even think just even in our family, like we would have never have gotten to where we got with even the show or the company Duck Commander even mm-hmm. making it if there wasn't that contentment within mm-hmm. the family of like, hey, we're happy with exactly who we mm-hmm. are and where we are and whatever God throws at us, mm-hmm. we'll take. But if things go the other way, we're still going to be happy and content.
Yeah, exactly, and I've seen that through y'all. Like, because mm-hmm. like when I came in, it was way before that dynasty. Yeah. And it's like, you know, people always think like, oh, they must just, you know, like they're so happy or they're doing mm-hmm. this because, you know, they have the fame.
They have it all.
And I'm like, no, they were always happy and always, you know, the same, like how they were before. So
that's so great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've gotten to, you know, we know a lot of people who are really successful in this world with wealth and fame and fortune and all that. But we know that that is not what brings you mm-hmm. happiness. Mm-hmm. That's not what sustains you. You know, mm-hmm. you can be happy in whatever circumstances, but mm-hmm. it is about the mindset and where you are. That's so good. I love that. Great advice, Becca. Bringing it to the people today. I love it. Okay. So I just thought since people don't really know a whole lot about your story, probably you were on Duck Dynasty, but whenever the show started, you were in college. You were away at LSU and majoring in fashion design, and then you went to LA for a little bit, and then you came back, and so people saw Rebecca. And I think there's like, also whenever you kind of know someone from a television show, you only see like that little piece of their life, mm-hmm. like that part, but you don't know all the things that brought you there. So mm-hmm. I thought, let's just go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up? What was your like childhood like? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up in Taiwan, and my family, they're like, when I grew up, we kind of travel a lot, and because my dad's job at the time, and one of my sisters born in Brazil, and I was born in Portland, Oregon, which is crazy, and then I have other siblings that was born in Australia, and I think just that kind of brought to kind of makes like me it's easier for me to kind of reroute later on I mm-hmm. think because we were kind of travel a lot and mm-hmm. been to different country and you know like I guess like then like family being apart too so it wasn't like super hard to be like, oh well, how are you okay being apart from your family, mm-hmm. you know.
Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every summer adventure series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks, depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KIWICO.com/SadieRobSummer. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery, and I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it, and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500. That's Audible, audible.com/woe or text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days.
But growing up in Taiwan, it was, I guess, I'm trying to think. It was great. It's just very different, yeah. You know, and I have four siblings. Mm-hmm. Wait, is it right? I'm one of four. Yes. So I grew up in the big family, yes. But I was the baby.
Yes.
Family, and I have two older siblings. Oh, yeah,
we have to talk about that a little bit. Rebecca was the baby in her family. And sometimes the baby in your family can come with a little bit of.
And I was like the true definition of a baby.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not saying you were spoiled, because you were not spoiled, but a little bit of like other people take care of everything, yes, for you. Mm-hmm. And then she comes
in. And
into
I was a lot
family.
Younger, yeah, than a lot, mm-hmm, of my siblings. Yeah.
And so your siblings kind of took care of you.
Yeah. My sister was wiping my butt till I was like I don't know.
Probably
like,
way too long.
She still talked about this, like how I would be like, I don't want to wipe my own butt because it's so gross. And she was like, so you want me to wipe your butt? Like,
oh, yeah. My goodness, that's so hilarious. Yeah, so Rebecca was like the true baby in the family. Then she comes into our home when she's at 16 years old, and she's the oldest of now five, like four, mm-hmm, we had four kids at the time, John Luke, Sadie, Will, and Bella. Bella was two, John Luke was like seven, so they were young, yeah. And you come in, and now you're basically like the oldest sibling. What was that like for you?
It was so fun, because that was one of the things I was like, when I signed up for exchange student, mm-hmm, that was one of the things I want to have like younger siblings too, mm-hmm. because I love like taking care of kids. And, you know, remember being in Taiwan, we'll have house church and they will have kids that come and I'll be the one that keeps yeah. all the kids. So I've always wanted to just be that big sister, you know, mm-hmm. and, but it was really also just like so different because I feel like I didn't really feel like I have like know that much or the uh-huh. authority over.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. like even like Sadie would come up to me and ask me questions uh-huh. and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Or just even like girly yeah. advice or yeah. something. And uh-huh. I feel like, or, you know, I feel like, wait, am I the one that's going to be given like big sibling advice, which yeah. I don't really know much, you know? And so like,
well, you did good. You did good. So whenever Rebecca comes into the family, like our kids were so excited. And so it was probably, I'm sure it was a little overwhelming because like they were crawling all over her from day one.
I remember there was one.
Sadie talked nonstop. Yes. Sadie asked yes. all the questions. Yes. And then Will was like, Will at that point, he really loved his friends and family. But he overloved like that kind of like he would like yeah. get so excited and like squeeze you. And Rebecca said she hug was kind of scared yeah. of him. He was three, but she was scared of him because he would hug her so tight or yes. squeeze her so tight. And then John Luke loved just having a buddy. I yeah. feel like you and John Luke were good little buddies. Yeah. And Sadie wanted to play all the games. But mm-hmm. yeah, you had to just be kind of like thrown in uh-huh. to this big family.
But it was like the perfect family for me to be in. I just mm-hmm. like can't like. It's such a God thing how we end up like yes, together because
absolutely.
Like it's just it's crazy still just mm-hmm. so yes. so shocked me how mm-hmm. everything came together. Yeah. I guess we can talk about
that. We should tell that. Yeah. So looking back on it, one of the things that was really special and Rebecca mentioned that she had house church in her family growing up, which was so special because she does come from a Christian family, which isn't necessarily it's not, that yeah. common.
I was probably the only one in our school.
Wow.
In my class, wow. you know, and of course we have friends growing up from church. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of Christian friends, yes. but at school, like mm-hmm. I was probably the mm-hmm. only one. I remember we'll take field trip to certain places like, you know, to visit some temples and stuff like that. And like, you know, like the teacher will, like my mom will send in a note kind of like saying like, oh, there's certain thing we probably won't do, you know,
right.
and just like religious stuff for, you know, mm-hmm. and going to do like the, see like certain temple
or
and like
that.
The, yeah.
Right.
Buddha
yeah.
and things. Yeah.
So that was one of the things that really drew me to Rebecca. So we decided to take an exchange student because I love travel and I really thought it was so important for our kids to like learn about the world and to understand that the world is so much bigger than our little bitty place that we're occupying. And, you know, just those things that you learn when you travel and you see that like, oh, we're all really more alike than we all are different. And I just thought that was really important to kind of expose our kids to. So I was like, oh, how fun would it be if we get an exchange student and maybe we'll learn another language, which that did not happen.
Well,
I can't even count in Chinese. It's pitiful. It's terrible. That
Sadie
did not
and Bella.
They learned a little
they
bit.
They learned a little bit. And we need to get Sadie to say.
Like Sadie can rap. Yeah. Sadie can rap and sing the climb. She can sing the climb in Chinese.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so we learned a little bit at the time. But anyway, all these ideas. So I decide, you know, we want to do an exchange student. Willie and I decide. And so we're looking. They have like pictures and a little profile where about each student. And I noticed yours, and really why we chose you is because your mom had written, I'm a Christian and a scientist, and told a little bit about her. But just that right off the bat, just saying like, I'm a Christian, that's who I am. I believe in Jesus and I love him. And we thought, oh, what, how special is that to be able to bring someone in our home from around the world who has the same beliefs as we have? So that was one of the reasons that I chose you. And you did, I think you said something in there about having a large family,
yeah.
having siblings. I was like, okay, she's used to a large family a little bit. So that would be good too. But tell from your end on kind of like how that all came about with us choosing you.
Yeah. And so I think another thing was since my dad passed away when I was younger. And so one of the things my mom also put on the list was having a family that has both mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was the three top priority that she's mm-hmm. looking for and for me. And so I remember actually I was assigned to another family at first yeah. and to a family in New Mexico. And they had told me in the exchange student program, they were like, hey, you know, you're signed up with this family. And I was getting ready to go to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a few days later, they were like, actually, we have some, like the family just informed us, like, you know, they're getting a divorce and the mom still would like to take an exchange student. But we know that was one of your, you know, priority if you still want to go. And my mom at the time was like, you know, maybe that's not the right time to go to that family. And for that reason, I was put back on the little, the roster, I guess, you know, what it's called. And then you saw me again, because I remember you told me you saw me, was like taken, like was like already unavailable. And then it popped back up. And that's whenever you were like, we got a picture, you know. And so when that, they were like, then they say, okay, we have another family from Louisiana. And I just remember, I've never heard of Louisiana. But I, one of my sisters, and his name is Luciana. And we just thought like, oh, it's Luciana. So I used to call Luciana Luciana the whole time. And so we got, all I've got was a little envelope they gave us containing a picture of y'all.
Yes. And I still have the picture that we sent, which is so funny because we look
completely different.
Yeah. So I'll have to put that on the YouTube, the picture that we sent. Yes.
Willie didn't have any beard.
Didn't have a beard at all in that picture?
That's but he had long hair.
Okay, yeah.
And you had dark brown hair, I remember. And then there the kids, and I just remember Will with like the little cute curls.
Yes,
and,
so cute.
And so it was just like, when I saw that picture, I was like, wow, what an interesting family. And that's all I had. It's kind of crazy.
Isn't
how
it crazy?
It's so like, such like, the whole process, it's like, you have to have so much faith.
So much
just
faith.
Believing, like,
yes,
this is like, you know.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine me doing, sending my kids.
Can you imagine?
I know. I don't know if I could. But maybe, like, I guess we just have so much faith, and it was, God was leading the whole way and telling us.
Yeah, you know. Thinking back about it, I could just, I don't know, I just like envision like prayers going up from our family in Louisiana, prayers going up with her mom in Taiwan to lead to what happened, you know, and all the little bitty things that had to happen for this to happen is just so amazing and miraculous and beautiful. And I hope that there's things that you can look back on your life and be like, okay, God, look at how you orchestrated that. Like when I didn't even know, like she said, it was like when I first saw her, I was like, immediately, like I remember reading that line and seeing her picture and being like, okay, this is who you have for us. And then it was taken, and then her coming back, and I'm like, oh, that's it. This is it, you know? And how incredible all of those things that God had to just orchestrate to weave our lives together is so beautiful. And so I hope you can just take some time to like look back and think, okay, God, what did you do in my life that I just didn't expect or didn't see, or I thought I was just pursuing this one dream, but it was actually something totally different. But I just remember, you know, every little aspect of that and how incredible it is. I feel like that God wove us together.
All right. Well, that's good, fam. I have some super exciting news. We are nominated for another K-Love Fan Award, which is just absolutely incredible. It is a huge honor to even be nominated amongst so many amazing podcasters. So guys, we need to see the support. You guys already support us in so many ways by listening to this podcast, sharing on social media, even just listening means the world. But if you would go to klovefanawards.com and vote for the Well That's Good podcast to win this award, it would mean so much to me. I'm just so grateful for you as a listener. And also, huge news too, my family's movie, The Blind, is nominated for Movie of the Year. So we are just celebrating this, that we get to even go to the K-Love Awards together. I'm hosting this year, already just a huge honor. But if you would do that and vote for Well That's Good podcast and also The Blind, it would mean so much to our family. Thank you guys so much. Y'all are the absolute best.
One of the things that was funny, so when she first got here, You had put on your chart that you spoke English. I mean, it said that.
Well, I thought.
And so, but, you know, y'all had learned English in school.
I think, like, imagine, okay, just like when we go to Dominican Republic.
Yes.
everyone took Spanish class.
Right.
So, but
you think feel, you know some Spanish. Yeah.
But then when you get there, it's like the conversation just not there.
No, you can't understand at all. Yeah. So she gets off the plane.
And y'all talk so fast.
And with southern accents.
Yeah, different accent.
Totally yeah. different. And we are like, do you need to go to the bathroom?
I was like the the top of my class in my English class.
I'm sure you were. No, I'm sure you were. But she comes here and we say, do you need to go to the bathroom? And this blank look on her face. And we're like, uh-oh, she doesn't understand us. And then we had planned to go take her to get donuts because we were so excited.
I remember
the kids
that.
Wanted to go get donuts. Yes. And
I slept the whole way in the car.
She was so tired. Your travel over here. And then just those first few months of just adjusting.
The time.
Talk about that a little bit because I feel like people can relate to your adjustment. Here, you know, young people going to college or making a move because you have all these high hopes and expectations. You're going to make this big move in your life. And then it's hard. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. So tell a little bit about some of your first months here, even up to your first year here.
I think it's like, I remember just like being in school. That was like, I feel kind of like lost a little bit even. Everyone was so nice. But like, there's time that like, I didn't know, like, oh, there was chapel and the time change. I didn't know. And I remember there's one time, one incident was like, I couldn't find anybody. And I was so lost. And I just went to the bathroom. And I was just like sitting there,
just
you know, because I didn't
hide out in the bathroom.
Yeah, because I didn't know what to do. And, you know, and just even being, you know, at the house, I remember just even though, like, I felt like very welcome, but you still just like, you know, like feel like, this is so out of my comfort zone. And like, you know, and then the time change, I remember I would like try to talk to some of the friends in Taiwan.
Yeah.
But then it's so different times. So I'll be talking to them at nighttime, like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then having to like, then adjust to like the morning, you know? And
I remember that was the thing we said, Rebecca didn't really adjust to like, we were in central time.
Still haven't
for a long time because like, she was talking to friends and family in the middle of the night, which was day there. Mm-hmm. Then she'd be so tired all through the day here. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was hard for you to adjust to. And I do remember also you, because of the language barrier, you coming home one time upset saying like, people are laughing and I don't know if they're laughing at me because I don't understand what they're saying. So I don't know. Maybe they're laughing at me and you just feeling really alone in that. Can you give some kind of like tips for if someone is doing a big move or starting college, like just getting married, moving to a new town, starting a new job? What are some tips to kind of like make it through that time?
Well, I think also just like maybe like leaning on people that's like you're closest to. And I think, you know, I feel like I kind of learned a lot from that, just like also don't like, you know, don't take everything so seriously because people might not really be talking about you.
That's right.
And I think like, like someone has said this before, it was like, you like, not everyone's talking about you because you're like, nobody is going to think about you more than you think of yourself, you know?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so I think like, you know, at that age, I was a teenager. Yeah. Of course, you're worried about what people are saying about you, you know.
But really, most people are too worried about their own selves to be worried about you at all.
Yeah. And I think, like I was insecure and, you know, I was kind of, but, you know, I feel like you helped me a lot. Like I was like leaning on you a lot. I'll be like holding your hand like, every day, like, you know, but it was hard. And you just have to, you know, I think everyone goes through that stage and you just have to be confident and, you know, and don't really think about what other people are saying about you. You know,
that's just good. Be confident and be patient too. I think just time. Yeah. Time heals some of those kind of things where it's like, I remember the first semester was so hard for you. And then it was like, and I tell young people this all the time who are going off to college, I'm like, don't give up the first semester because the first semester is when you want to give up. It's hard. You feel very alone. There's times when you might want to hide in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But then it's like that second semester and it really takes a full year to like feel connected and rooted anywhere and with whatever you're in. And so like I think a lot of people just give up too early.
Yeah. And I think like if I would have just like give up, then I wouldn't have made more friends and be open up and learn more. Cause like the more I'm opening up, the more I'm learning and I'm, you know, taking in and like just learning the language, speaking mm-hmm. with more people, talking with more people.
Yeah.
If I just close it up, then like I would never really mm-hmm. learn anything.
That's
you know?
Good. And that courage to just try.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something in making relationships and friendships. I know even like when Sadie, because she had been moved away for a while, she was in Nashville and then she came back and she was like, oh, I have to like make friends again. Mm-hmm. And like to do that, like what do I have to do that? I have to like reach out. I have mm-hmm. to like make a point. When someone invites me, I have to go and yeah. show up. I have mm-hmm. to be the one that invites other people mm-hmm. to things.
Be intentional.
And
yeah.
yeah, I saw you do that. I remember that first semester being really hard and you being kind of attached to me mm-hmm. and really talking to people at home a lot mm-hmm. and then kind of making a decision to say like, okay,
I have to
like really pour in here mm-hmm. and things changed for you. You mm-hmm. started building relationships and mm-hmm. having fun and enjoying school mm-hmm. and like diving into things, but it took your initiative mm-hmm. rather Definitely. Than just sitting yeah. back and like, I'm just going to hide yeah. in my room.
Yeah.
And
it's
that can
easy
be tempting.
Just to like yeah. not, you know, mm-hmm. but then I was like, I got to do something because yeah. this is not going to be the experience I'm going to be having, you know,
right.
if I don't.
Yeah. yeah. And it's up to you.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. So then you went off to college. You went to LSU and got your degree in fashion design and merchandising. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca is incredibly talented and gifted. And she's an artist and creative and always looks so cute in her fashion and everything. But going off to college as you have really just learned English a couple of years before that,
yeah.
you know, to the extent and being able to do that. Tell me some of the things about that, what was hard about it? What was exciting about it?
I guess I just set myself a goal. Like I knew that's what I want to do because mm-hmm. I remember we were looking at other colleges, mm-hmm. but they didn't really have the degree I wanted to be in. Mm-hmm. And so I think once I, you know, was able to go do that, pursue that, I was very focused on yeah. like what I want to do because I'm like, okay, so I kind of just like put myself in like, you know, that design program
yeah.
and then make friends like that have the same interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I know LSU is huge and have a lot of people, but I feel like I was just kind of like stay with all my
right.
like-minded
yeah.
and group uh-huh. of people that, you know, we had a lot of fun and we stay and work really hard at night and like stay in the studio, you know, yeah. all night. I remember we will have like bring toothbrushes and stuff and we'll just sleep over there.
Work
and
all
we
night.
Were in our, it's really weird, but fashion design and it's called like fashion design, textile science and merchandising.
Okay.
It's like the whole big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in human ecology building. So right beside our building, like right in the building with us was like family or nutrition
okay.
study
yeah.
or something.
Uh-huh.
It's all group in someone. Mm-hmm. So there would be cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And
nice.
Like they would be making us breakfast and stuff. Like it was really cool. And so we
cool.
have like, you know, we'll be staying overnight uh-huh. and work really hard. And then they were like,
yeah.
do y'all want to taste this? And, you know, and it's like a big party.
That's
and
so fun.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's good advice. Like find your people. If
yeah.
you're moving to a new space, find your people.
A lot of people ask me and like everyone I talked about like, LSU is such a party school and all that, but I feel like I've always not been the kind of person to be influenced like really
mm-hmm.
easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I don't like feel like I just never really, it's, I kind of just like, you know, don't
yeah.
feel like I need to fit in anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'll fit in with myself and then like with, you know,
yeah.
and so I find my people that, you know,
right.
and then we kind of just
yeah.
stay tight knit.
That's
you know,
so good.
Like that.
Sometimes you go to a place and that there's this reputation,
yeah.
but there's always people
always
who
people.
Are
yeah.
not doing the thing that everyone
yeah.
else is doing. There's are always people. And sometimes you can really feel alone in that if you
yeah.
are trying to live differently
mm-hmm.
than what it seems like kind of the world is living. But you just look for your people
mm-hmm.
and also, and just put your head down and work hard
yeah.
and that will come.
What's your goal? You
yeah.
know, and we have fun, but you know, but it's like, I don't feel like I have to fit in with everybody
so
doing
good.
All this stuff, you know. And,
yeah.
you know, I was invited to a lot of things, but that wasn't what I'm interested in. Then
uh-huh.
I would just not go, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. All right. So after college, you went to Los Angeles for a couple of years and pursuing kind of your dream. And I remember one time, this is so funny because I remember Rebecca, you don't
I'm
even
nervous.
Know. I was like, what are you going to say? Rebecca was like working. This is her first time in life to have to like, you know, work, pay all her
yeah.
bills and do all that, which you had been, I mean, you're a hard worker obviously.
But it's
we talked about that.
Just being like living on your own.
Living on your own.
In a very expensive city.
Yes, yes. And I remember her calling and being like, all the money I make just goes to pay my bills. And I was like,
that's kind of adult life.
That's kind of adult life, you know. But just like that realization that like, oh, this is the real world and it is not easy. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that just you have to do that aren't really fun, but you have to like work and but your attitude and your positivity goes back to that contentment and happiness was always there. Like you always had that spirit of like, even though this was hard, you're still a spirit of positivity and getting through it. So what do you think, what do you think in your life, do you think you were just kind of born with that? Or was there a moment when you were like, okay, this is who I'm going to be and how I'm going to be.
I don't know. That's a really hard question. I feel like I've always been kind of positive, but I don't know where that, you know, because because I've seen some of my family member, like, I don't really know it's from that either, you know? So I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, what would you, maybe like, God have just, you always seen that?
I've always seen that in you. I think maybe God just put that in you. But also, I think you, like you said, you make a decision.
Yeah.
You make a decision that this is how you want to be. You like, and perhaps even, I think sometimes in life, like, you know, there's this thing about how, like, we're either a reaction to or we're a reflection of the things that we experience. And there's some things in life that you're a reflection of the things you experience, that those are the things that are kind of more positive in your life. But also, sometimes there's you're a reaction to in things that, like, say, look, I saw this and this is how I want to be because of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's things that that you saw that you don't want to be like, or there's things that you do want to be like. And we learn from, like, every single one of our experiences.
And maybe that's something like I had like growing up, you know, as a young kid that I don't even remember just seeing, you know, and I think like also just like knowing like, why would I want to dwell on things like when I can just be positive and like work, you know, and push myself to, you know, do something else, you know? And so, I think, I don't know, maybe it was something, I feel like we didn't talk about this earlier about growing up in Taiwan, but I think the big change in my life, like my childhood, was like after my dad passed away. And I think that was a huge, like, kind of really changed everything about like how I am today now. And like, I think we had this conversation when I first came because I remember just being like a little bitter and resentful about God because I feel like, Why did this happen to me?
Yeah.
And because I was really, really close to my dad. And and so, but like, I remember we were praying and crying and talking about this. But one of the thing like kind of reminded me now, it's like, I would never be here if it wasn't for that. Because that was why I decided to do exchange student.
Right.
Because, you know, because of him, because he, you know, like after he passed away, I kind of went through just kind of like close myself up to, you know, like and just being really like resentful. And I think I was going just kind of hang out with bad friends and not doing the right thing. And that's when my mom was like, you got to change. You got to do something else. And maybe this will be a thing for you to, you know, like. Do something else different. And since I was born here, I've always like wanted to go, and me and my dad talked about this like coming, and he always said he was going to take me to America again and all that. So so I think maybe that also just kind of like opens up to like the whole thing with like, hey, like this happened, but it's not big, you know, like this actually lead to something else that was going to be great, you know?
Right.
And I feel like God has planned in that the whole time.
That's so good. That's that scripture that God works all things for the good for those who know and love him. And just that idea that like, you're going to go through hard times. There's going to be bad things that are going to happen in your life. But when you put your trust in God, you know and love him, he's going to work those things for the good. And it takes
and
time.
And you would never like expect that because like, I would never thought it would lead to this, you know? And now being in y'all's family and have all you know,
yeah,
always like what I'm missing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just crazy.
I was thinking about, as you were talking about that too, the fact that when Rowdy came into our family, mm-hmm. Rowdy lost his dad at a young mm-hmm. age as well. And that was really special because Rebecca had been through that, and you were able to just connect with Rowdy in that way mm-hmm. and speak to him in that way, in a way that felt, because you had some years, mm-hmm. a little bit, few more years in it, and not mm-hmm. that it wasn't hard, or that you know, that's still a hard time in your life, but mm-hmm. like you had enough years to look back and say, oh, but yeah. God, mm-hmm. God was with me mm-hmm. in all of it. He brought
you
me
might
through
not understand
it
right now, mm-hmm. but you know, it's in the long run, you will see how,
yeah.
yeah.
And what a gift that was. And another way mm-hmm. God kind of wove our lives mm-hmm. together yeah. and our family together for mm-hmm. you to be able to help Rowdy a little bit through mm-hmm. that too. I thought that was really, really special. Well, all right. Okay. On to the next kind of season of your life. We're kind of going through yeah. your life seasons.
So We did LA.
Yeah. And then you moved back here. But I want to talk a little bit about the single years. Okay. Willie makes fun of all the guys she brought home. And then also, this is one funny part about Rebecca. So Rebecca is, you're so positive and so happy. And we always say that, like, she never really wanted to break up with somebody, so she just moved. It was like she was too nice to break up with somebody.
Like,
so.
I think it's my personality, but, like, I'm an Enneagram 9. And so I think I just, like, always want very peaceful.
Peace, yes.
Uh-huh. And I don't like confrontation right. at all. And, like, so I just can never.
Yeah.
It's but terrible.
All the guys she dated, we were just like, you know, we were not like vocal, I don't think, yeah. about it, but we were just like, no, this yeah. is not
well,
the
I
one.
Think also,
not the one.
This is something a lot of maybe younger mm-hmm. generation can learn, like if mm-hmm. they're kind of in the season of being yeah. single too. Just like, I think I also just like, I'll have a good friend, uh-huh. but then I don't want to lose that friend.
Yeah.
Then I end up.
Became like a relationship, but it wasn't really meant to be.
But I didn't want to lose that friend because we're having, you know, like mm-hmm. I didn't want to lose that friendship.
Right.
And uh-huh. so I will say yes to dating this person mm-hmm. that I'm actually really not into.
Yeah.
Just because I'm comfortable.
Right.
That I want to just have some friends to go get coffee with, mm-hmm. have this person I can always talk to and do this thing with, but, you know,
yeah,
not necessary, like, I want to date this person to marry this person, mm-hmm. but just to kill time with.
I think, yeah, that's true. That's very honest. I think
know.
A lot of people end up in relationships
okay,
like that.
I don't know if it's just me or not, no. but, you know, and
I think a lot of people end up in relationships like that.
I've been in, with a few friends that they end up liking me and I said no and weren't friends anymore. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I don't want this to happen. Then I'm like, do yes. I really like this person? Because I feel this like lost, like, you
right,
know, and like, so then I think after that I was like, okay, maybe I should try to like date this person just so, you know, see, but mm-hmm. then it's never really a good thing because I'm just trying to be comfortable and content with someone that I'm not really, you know,
right
into. And then mm-hmm. I feel bad to hurt their feelings and I just stay in that relationship for a long time. So,
thankfully, you did not marry yeah. any of those people.
I know,
that
it's
we're so thankful yeah. for that. So that's another looking back and thanking God for unanswered yeah. prayers. It's like you go back and you're like, God, thank you for, you know, just yeah. allowing me to wait. And mm-hmm. then you meet John Reed
yeah.
and we all knew from like the moment we saw Rebecca with John Reed that like, okay, this is different.
There's something too, I must say, was so funny. So when actually like she ran into John Reed at the airport one time and it was when I was single
mm-hmm.
and like she talked to John Reed. John Reed mm-hmm. loves to talk to people and he's mm-hmm. really friendly and started kind of having conversation with Two Mama and Sadie. Mm-hmm. Like they were on the plane together. Yeah. And then so Two Mama got home and she was telling me about this guy she met
mm-hmm.
on the plane. And she was like, do you know this guy, John Reed? Because, you know, like, he's from here, but he looks like he's from outer town. Because like, they always say.
Rebecca needed somebody that looked a little bit more international.
Edgier,
a little, yeah.
It's so funny how, like, she said it. Like, yeah. it was like, she looks like she's, like, he looks like he's from outer town, you know. But yeah,
that's
like.
So true.
I think.
How old were you when y'all got married?
27?
27, yeah. Like, that's not old by any other standards at all. But in our family, we do get married young.
And I think that's another reason why, too, I was dating a few people because I feel like everyone is dating somebody. Yeah. Everyone is married. Everyone, you know, just being from the South. And I think a lot of my high school friends and, you know.
We're getting married. And you felt, do you remember feeling that pressure?
I do. Yeah. And it's, you know, and I want to encourage anyone to, like, you know, I say I'm not easily influenced, but, but I think, like, relationships are a little different because then you feel lonely and then you feel like you're on the clock. Like, like, because if you don't, then everyone's going to be taken, you know. Yeah. And
that's not true. That is a lie, you know. I know. Just that thought that, like, and I remember you being nervous to move back home because thinking, oh, I'm not going to meet anybody because it's a small town. Yeah. And I'm like, nope. That is a lie. Like, you,
in
you
LA, I feel like there's still a lot of single people, you know, and there's a reason why there's a lot of single people. But it was just like, I was like, well, I'm going to get home. Like, there's not going to be anybody. Everyone I went to high school with, Mary, everyone, you know, and
so. And then you move back home and you meet the love of your life.
Yes. Yeah. And which is, I've never thought, like, I didn't think I was ever going to be with someone actually from Monroe. And it's a huge country boy. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's true. A hunter. He loves his three
wheelers. I think he's, like, probably the most, like, country out of, like, all the.
I don't know. Jacob. Jacob probably wins Jason, that one. Yeah.
But
John Reed's in his country. Yeah. But he's perfect for you. And, like, we knew it from day one. And it's been so fun to see your relationship. And now you have two beautiful children, Zane and Holland. And they are the cutest. If you do not follow Rebecca, you've got to follow Rebecca to see her kids.
I post a lot of pictures
of them. A lot of pictures of the kids. They're so cute and so much fun. So what do you feel like God is kind of, like, teaching you in this moment of as a mom of two, a wife? You have a small business. You're kind of pursuing a little bit of your passion with fashion. What is God teaching you kind of in this season that you're in?
Well, it's crazy. And it's, you feel like there's never a time to just, like, slow down.
Yeah.
Because there's always something going on. And, like, I feel like, especially after having the second child, it's just like, whoa. Like, it really, like, blew my mind. Because, like, with just one kid, I was like, oh, I got this. You know, I can, like, I started the kid's baby clothing business right after, like, kind of after Zhang was born. And I was like, I can do this. And, you know, and then after Holland was born, I was like, okay, I got to take a break. Like, I kind of just, like, you know. But it's so much fun. But it's just, like, you feel like times are – every day is the times are so slow because you're with them. You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. But then you look by, it's like times are going so fast.
Yes.
So it's, they say, like, the days are slow, but the
years, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah. Yes. That's kind of so how true. I feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I say, like, you know, I'm still kind of adjusting to the season and, you know, I have to, like, really kind of, like, learn from so many people and get advice from people that have been through, because it's hard.
Yeah, you
know?
It is.
And I don't know how people.
You talking about it takes me back to those years, you know, as a young mom. And I remember that so vividly, that feeling like, well, one, just counting the minutes to nap time.
Yes.
You know, or like
bedtime.
It's our bedtime at night to be like, okay, at some point they're going to sleep and I'm going to have a little bit of time to myself. Yeah. But just, you know, there are some days that just felt really long because you're just in the just kind of like grind of it, you know, but then also how quickly you look back and you're like, oh my goodness,
I know.
She's already, Holland's already won. That's insane. It's so crazy. But, and then also that feeling of like, okay, is this going to be
my
whole life? Yeah. Yes. Everything. I do have other passions and dreams and things that I love. And one thing that I remember really helping me in that time was reading that quote about how, like, you can do everything you want in life, but just not all at once. And just that, and it was so, so good for me to hear. And, like, now looking back, I'm like, you have plenty of time. Mm-hmm. You are going to get to do the things that God puts on your heart and the talents and gifts, but it might not be right now. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, this might be need to be where you are. But not that you can't be pursuing other things along the way too, but when you try to kind of, like, do it all at once, I think that's when the burden just becomes too heavy. And I think as women, sometimes we're kind of told, like, you can have it all, you can do it all, but that comes with a price and a cost. Where when you think, okay, you can do it all, you can have it all, but, like, don't try to do it all at once. Like, trust me, that's too big of a burden to carry.
Yeah.
Take your time. You've got plenty of time.
Yeah, and I think, like, also just, like, don't compare yourself to other people, you know, because it's hard to see, like, oh, whoa, how can they do this and make their house, like their house looks spotless. And then, like, I feel the pressure of, like, having to clean all the time and, like, just a lot of stuff, like, piling on my mind all the time, you know?
And that is such another, like, lie of the enemy. And I feel like social media has brought that so much. I do think that, you know, when I was a young mom, we didn't have that comparison like you do now. But if you think about, like, someone can make one little area of their house look really spotless and, really cute.
I've been seeing people sharing that, like, lately.
Have you?
And, like, showing, like, oh, this is, like, where they took the photo. And, like, right beside it is, like, super messy. And, like, I love seeing stuff like that because it's just, like,
real.
I feel, like, you know, related.
And
so, but, yeah, like, I think, you know, even, like, I would talk to John Reed all the time. Like, sometimes I'll go through, like, days I'm like, I can't do this. This is terrible. I just need a break. But then, like, the next day I'm like, oh, you know, I guess I think it's just like, you just need to give yourself grace.
Give yourself grace. That's so good. You know? I love that. And there's another thing I remember reading this quote whenever our kids were young. It was like, not that this is all men or husbands or whatever, but it was like a man says he's going to go to bed. No, okay. A woman says she's going to go to bed and she, like, gets up, she, like, loads the dishwasher, fixes the bottles, puts another load on the laundry, you know, does all these, this long list of things, but before she goes to bed. And a man says he's going to go to bed and he goes to bed. And, like,
immediately I'm like, how did you just go to sleep like that?
And so not that, that's a big generalization, but sometimes just give yourself permission to just go to bed. And I remember whenever I read that and thought, you know, that's so true. Like, I say I'm going to go to bed and then I have this long list of things. But then by the time I get in bed, then my brain is thinking about all the other lists of things I need to do.
I do that all the time and then I can't sleep.
Then you can't go to sleep by then.
I'm like, I'm in bed. I should be sleeping. And I'm thinking about all the things I have to do. And then it's just like a cycle is like very unhealthy.
So sometimes just say, like, I'm going to bed and literally, like, walk to the bed. Don't do anything else. And just give yourself permission to do that. And sometimes and there's a lot you have to do. You have to stay up late and you got to do it. That's just life. Like, not that you're going to always be able to do that. But nothing cannot wait till the morning. So, all right. Well, this was really fun, Rebecca. It wasn't as painful as you thought.
No, it was. I'm glad it was.
Good. You did great. This was really fun.
I give you my first, my virgin podcast.
I love it. I'm so proud. I'm so proud. This was awesome. I love you so much. I'm so grateful that you're a part of our family. And I'm so grateful to get to sit here and talk to you today.
It was fun.
All right. Thanks for listening.